McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning again. Excuse me. Whoa, puberty. Coming back at me. Good morning again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Yes, I'm remembering the good old days when I was 12, ladies.
But we
are back with another awesome show, I am sure. And hello, you two. How are we doing?
Well, God just punished you. God punished you for doing what my mother does on the phone, and I hate that just as much. You were eating and talking at the same time and nearly choked. That's what I'm laughing at.
I didn't nearly choke. I coughed. I wasn't choking on nothing.
Because you nearly choked, and that's God's punishment for talking and eating at the same time. You and my mother.
Hey, listen, lady. What are you, my mother?
Wait, your mother does it? Your mother yells at you.
My mother does it, and I yell at her. It's complete role reversal.
I was just going to say, yeah, that is kind of an opposite thing. Because, you know, I disappoint my mother all the time. Sometimes I'll even call her and eat specifically just to disappoint her.
This is so, now, I did not. I'm sure she loves that. But since you're a man, Frankenberry, and this is just going together too well, and I wasn't really planning on it. But I do have, a little something that I need to ask you, and Carol's gonna, you're gonna have an opinion on this too. So earlier this week, I almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Murdered my much younger paramour. And the reason why I almost did that was because he was eating a bag of corn chips as loud as could be. Like, like so freaking loud, like unusually loud. And I said to him, like, what is wrong with you? Like, how is it possible that a human being can be eating chips? Now, chips are crunchy. I get it. But like, what do you guys, and I think it's a male thing, Frankenberry, do you guys know or intentionally or have some weird kind of physical makeup that makes the things in your mouth that are getting masticated sound a lot louder than when we delicate women do it? Tell me.
Now, first of all, that whole lead up sounds weird. But anyway, no, first, you said it. They're crunchy. And what is he doing? Eating the chips with his mouth open?
He must have been, because I don't know what else would produce such a loud noise.
Right, because if you're eating chips with your mouth closed, they're pretty much the same crunch for everybody. I mean, it's not like I'm putting a chip in my mouth and letting it soften up before I eat the damn thing.
Plus, it was that initial, you know, when you take that first bite of a chip, the hunk? Yes.
When was the last time you had a carbohydrate? Maybe this is the issue. Maybe you got you're like a carbohydrate hangry, and so you hear somebody else crunching and it's like making you lose it.
That's a good point.
Eat a carb.
Simple jealousy on your part, Jonna.
No, you guys know I have that condition. You know I have that condition, that misophobia, I think it's called. I have to
Right. You looked it up one time and it was actually,
And it was actually a thing, and I have it. And, you know, you shouldn't make fun of me for having a disability like that.
What are you talking about?
Frankenberry, a few shows ago,
there's a condition. Remember, we talked about this a while ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mouth noises. Oh, like, mouth noises. Okay. Yeah, fine. Okay. Fine.
It irritates you.
Okay.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing, Frankenberry.
I'm sure it is, John. And I'm sure it's a syndrome, and I'm sure there's, like, you know, there's probably charity fundraisers for it. It's probably got its own foundation. Yeah, I know.
There's no cure. Okay.
And you know why? You know why it's a real thing?
Why?
It's a real thing because you named it, made it up, and put it on Urban Dictionary, and then you're like, look, that's online. It's a real thing.
That's right. Can you see? You know, it'd be funny is if, John, if you went online and it was like a Wikipedia thing and you could see like where you made the obvious insertion of this particular new syndrome. You know, like the font is all different. It's in different colors or something. It looks like a child did it. So it looks, you know, everything's very official, WebMD like. And then here's Jonna.
See,
and this one too, misophobia.
So mine would be misophobia punctuated with an emoji if I stuck it in there.
That's like, right.
Like a grimace face emoji. Well, I have it, and it was in rare form, and it almost made me commit murder. So you guys can keep making fun, but...
Hey, like I said...
Did you say something to him, or did you just go punch a pillow?
All right, so here's what I did, and I'm a little embarrassed, but I'll tell you what I did. So he's crunching away on these chips, right? And I'm trying to hold it in, guys. I was trying so bad to hold it in, you know? But when you have this condition, it's really hard. So I'm trying to hold it in, I can't hold it in. Finally, I say, very calmly, I say, you need to please go in the other room and shut the door. That's what I say. So he listens to me and he goes in the other room and he shuts the door. And I'm like happy, right? But then I had to go in the other room to get something. So I walk in the room and sure enough, it was like on cue. He waited for me to walk in and then crunched another freaking chip, like ear decibel hurting laugh, right? So I'm like, I can't believe you just intentionally did that. So then I walked out of the room and I shut the door and we stayed apart until I guess he was done crunching the crap out of those chips. I mean, who does that?
Jonna, I think you need to break up with him. I mean, how dare somebody chew?
I know.
Their food.
Now, you guys, I know you're making fun of me right now.
No.
Okay, I can detect it. Frankenberry, you are not one to talk. Because you are, yes, you. You guys, you're a man, Frankenberry. And here's another thing.
You know what?
I know.
Do me a favor. Can you do me a favor right now?
Hey, Frankenberry. You know what? I am waiting. Right. Desperately.
Do you guys
breathlessly
have,
to find you, out what the favor it is that you need
do
from
you,
me.
Do you guys have in front of you right now, by any chance, do you have a mug full of any sort of liquid in front of you right now?
No, I got a can of water.
I have a cup of water.
Okay. Carol? Please do me a favor. This is going to make for fascinating radio. Please take a sip of water as you ordinarily would take a sip of water. And then tell us when you're done. Are you done?
Hang on. No, I didn't do it yet. Hang on.
All right.
I was distracted with something. Okay, so taking a sip of water.
Just take a sip of water. Oh, my God. I totally heard that. I totally heard you go.
You heard what?
Oh my God.
Okay. Am I not supposed to swallow?
That's right. You've never heard anybody gulp in a movie, for Christ's sake?
And gulping drives me crazy. Wait a minute.
What's the gulp issue? Excuse me. What is the issue with the gulp? Was I supposed to take a sip and spit it out? This is not a wine tasting.
All right. So just hold on. Okay. Let me prove my point. I am going to take a sip of seltzer out of a bottle. That's what I have in front of me right now. All right. You will hear nothing. And if you do hear something, stop having my misophobia. No, I won't. But okay, you ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
I swallowed. Did you hear it? No. I rest my case. Frankenberry, sip something right now.
Sip something. I can't help it if you don't have an Adam's apple.
Sorry. I'm still hung up on something else, but hold on a sec. All right. So. Now, I've got a can of seltzer water. All right, Spielborg?
Okay.
All right.
Now, that could be noisy.
Well, it's seltzer. It has, like, you know, that whole popping thing going on, you know.
I just drank seltzer. Nobody heard a word, but go ahead.
Nobody heard a word? Your seltzer talks to you?
Nobody heard a word.
No. All right. Hold on.
You dirty rat.
And you better be careful there, Spielborg, because the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to drop the F word.
Oh, you wouldn't dare.
Frankenberry, I have to tell you, I think knowing that her condition, I think that was a little bit mean.
It was a little bit mean to me. I almost drowned.
You're gonna choke up. Who's eating the chips?
Did you hear
Who
my crunch?
Who is eating the chips? Yes, that you.
What was that about being mean, Carol?
You guys. Okay.
Who's eating the chips?
It's all fun and games. So somebody has to get institutionalized with misophobia.
You know,
yeah, you'll miss me.
I can just see it now. John has been institutionalized, like, say, for instance, because she's afraid of clowns and she snapped and she has to go in for, like, you know, 72 hours. And then her two best friends, Carol and Frankenberry, show up dressed as Bozo 1 and Bozo 2 to say hi and check on her condition.
you got to desensitize. That's all.
Right? Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to appeal right now to our six audience members. And if they are listening today and you're hearing how I am being accosted auditorially by my two besties. You are, what's audio? Auditorially.
Okay, auditorially.
You're fine. You got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm being accosted by my two besties right now. If any of our six listeners understands and sympathizes with me, I want you to send me a text or an email, because I am not wrong here.
And by the way, you keep selling us short. It's 8. Thank you.
It's 8. Right.
It could even be 9. Like, I mean, it's been a week.
plus, if it was 9, we could just say number 9, number 9, number 9.
Is that from a movie? No, I don't get it.
It's a Beatles thing. Never mind.
Oh, okay. It's a movie reference. I'm like, I don't get it.
So, wow. Oh, whoa. Okay. Now I'm in recovery. All right. So all good.
Hey, it's important to know who your friends are, Jonna.
Isn't this funny? And it doesn't bother me. Well, no, it does. I've had fights in restaurants. It's not so bad in a restaurant because there's the din of noise, like people around you.
Right.
You don't focus on the sound. But I've had my fights in restaurants too, because I've heard things that I didn't want to hear. It's
neighboring tables or your own table?
No, my own table. Like, you know, again, going back to my much younger paramour, like, he can swallow loudly, and slurp. Like, there's no need to slurp anything. Like, nothing is really, I mean, people, like, they think you have to slurp out of a spoon. You don't need to slurp out of a spoon. Just put the spoon in your mouth, tilt the spoon, pull the spoon out, swallow, repeat yourself.
Jonna, sometimes people slurp a little bit with a spoon and soup because it's freaking hot.
Swirl it around, give it a little blow. I can take the blow. I can't take the slurp. Very Jonna, important to think.
I hear you on the slurp. But why is swallowing an issue?
Give it a little blow. I'm sorry. Just give your soup a couple of lines and it'll be all right. It won't be as hot.
Jonna.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it possible to get your younger paramour on the show sometime?
Oh, he'll never. He will never. No.
Has he ever listened?
No. Yeah.
But he's a performer.
Yes. And he has listened. No, I think he's afraid that I'll, he's just afraid.
Well,
he's just afraid.
It can't be too bad, because if he's listened to the show and he hasn't broken up with you yet, he's doing okay.
Well, yeah, right. It has.
Good point.
It has been a while. But no, we fight about this misophobia stuff like all the time. It just doesn't get any better. And like I said, there is no cure. And
now what would be funny, Carol, is if we had her younger paramour on the show, but separately without Jonna, and we could hear the story from the other angle. And then he could say to us, all right,
that would be awesome.
Carol Frankenberry, I want your opinion. So if you know this person who, if you're just eating a couple of chips, loses her mind and starts screaming around the house about the fact that she can hear you eating your chips, is she nutty? Is that a little bit too much?
I know. I think it'd be great. I think we need to figure that out. And then next time we're on this topic, I'll be like, Frankenberry, play the tape. Play it.
Can I just say one last thing on this and then I'll drop it? when he eats cereal, which is a combination. Now, think about this from a mesophobic's perspective. Cereal is a combination of crunch and slurp. Yes,
oh, no.
Yes. Wow. Is cereal bad? Cereal is bad.
And you know what, John? I just had this image of all your neighbors standing outside your house, like alongside your walkway, as you're being wheeled away on a gurney in a freaking straitjacket, and all you're doing is mumbling to yourself, cereal.
Yeah, and one of your best friend's name is Frankenberry. This is really so ironic. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. All right, that's where I got it. Carol, you have to somehow figure out a way to get in touch with Jonna's younger paramour. Tell him to buy a box of Frankenberry.
I can
just
do
be
it.
Eating that one morning. Surprise Jonna with it.
Okay. I think I can do it. I have a route. Have an avenue. Yeah.
And take pictures or a video. That would be funny.
Oh my God.
Could you guys, and maybe there is a cure for what I have. Maybe the cure is if I've had a couple of cocktails before you start smacking your lips and slurping your soup and swallowing your sushi too loud, maybe then I'm okay with it.
Swallowing too loud.
But if it's first thing in the morning and I haven't had my coffee and you're crunching and slurping the Cheerios, I'm going to cut you. Like, I am going to cut you deep.
And again, conversation turned around. All right. So, Carol, Frankenberry, if you're with somebody who, when you're just trying to eat a bowl of cereal, says, I'm going to cut you deep. Is that a concern?
Should I be concerned? Run. Right. Run.
That's right, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yes, all right.
Now, let me ask you something. So this conversation is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Do you find the comedy in the moment, Jonna, or were you genuinely, like, agitated?
Oh, so, all right, kidding aside, it seriously drives me crazy. Like, yeah, no, it's okay. Bad. I seriously banished him to another room and made him shut the door. And then got mad when I had to go in that room for a split second and heard a slight crunch. Oh, yeah. It's not me. It's him.
That's right. That's right. Because your irrational phobia is somebody else's fault. Yes.
Yeah. So, no, it's real bad.
Wow.
It's bad. Well, I mean, look, we all can't be perfect. You know, I'm close.
You are. Carol and I remark on that. Yeah, we remark on that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, every now and then, Carol will just shoot me a text like out of the blue that says, you know, John is almost perfect. And I will shoot a text back to Carol that says, I know. It's remarkable.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you guys do that. Yeah.
And then we're like, aren't we lucky that we are friends with her?
Exactly. And then I text back with a bunch of emojis, smiley faces, and maybe a cat.
Little princess.
Yep.
Wearing a crown.
A thumbs up.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Jonna, maybe you should pick a word for the year that, like, helps calm you. Like, maybe your word for the year should be, like, zen.
You know, as mad as I might be at you two for making fun of me right now, you're still the best at the Sagu. Uh-huh. That was very good.
I was waiting for it,
Yeah. No, she just...
And I passed the baton.
So, okay, Carol.
Again, Frankenberry. Oh, never mind. Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
I hope that you are enjoying yourself.
We are, like, a hell of a lot, actually.
It's just the double meaning of so many things you've said this morning so far.
I know. It's and there's some of them. Oh. There's some of them I will not even bring back up, you know, because this is family.
It's not even
radio.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. It is early morning on a Sunday.
Yes.
So, okay. Coming up, somebody who has a lot more dignity than I, and a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show, Heather Hansen. Now, she's been on before, and if anybody ever watches certain TV channels, you've seen me and her far together, but Heather is an attorney turned basically life coach and author. And we're going to talk to her because we're kind of focusing in January on new beginnings. And a lot of people, when the new year starts, will pick a word to be their word of the year. And then they sort of conform to that word. And we're going to talk to Heather about how to refresh for 2022, picking words, what's her word, what's our word, and how we can start 2022 anew and be the best versions of ourselves. Coming out of this, the last 2 years, I think it's a great time to speak with her, our good friend, Heather Hansen, author and motivational speaker and coach, when we come back from this break.
All right. That sounds good. And do people really do that, by the way, Shauna?
Pick a word?
Yeah.
Of course, me, Carol, Jeannie, Heather, you, any woman in your life who you know right now has picked a word for 2022. Yes.
Did not know that. Okay. Well, might have something to do with me being single, though, too. All right. So anyway.
And a dude.
Exactly. So Heather Hansen, she is on the way. So please stick around. You're listening to Happy Hour here with Jonas Spillborn and Carol Pesci. And we'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillborn and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we're back for segment number two. And we have a good friend of the show who has been with us quite often joining us again today. Isn't that correct there, Miss Spillborn?
That is more than correct. So I'm very happy and thrilled that we have with us today my good friend of the show, all-around great gal, Heather Hansen. Now, before we start chatting with Heather, I just want to bring you guys up to speed. So you might remember, Heather and I go way back. We used to spar, and I'm putting that in air quotes, with each other on Fox News about legal stuff. Heather is my hero because she has been an attorney for 20 years and then decided, I think I want to write a couple books and become a coach and help people live the life of their dreams. And she just went and did exactly that. She's also the creator of, she wrote two books. One is called The Elegant Warrior, which I've read. The other is called Advocate to Win, which I've also read. And by read, I mean, I listened to both of them. She is the creator of a podcast also called The Elegant Warrior. And she also has another little private podcast that we're going to talk about a little later on. She is a coach. She provides webinars. And if you follow her on social media like I do, I don't just follow her because she's my friend. I follow her because I freaking love her content. And we have her on today because it's a brand new year and people are trying to get out of the doldrums. We've all picked words for 2022. And Heather is going to help us re-energize and refocus as we start this new year. Heather Hansen, my good friend, our good friend, welcome to Happy Hour.
My goodness, what an intro. If that's not enough to put someone in a good mood to start the year, I don't know what is. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, we are really happy to have you. And we have you here because I'm not kidding. It is a new year. This is what I was thinking when we were planning the show. And typically we plan the show about 3 seconds before we start the show. But we did.
A true story.
We did it maybe a day before the show because here's what I'm feeling. And I don't think I'm alone. So we're kind of coming, like we're still not fully out of this pandemic. A pandemic that was supposed to last 15 days has lasted 2 years, and we're coming out of it. And I think a lot of people are tired, and a lot of people are frustrated, and we really want a fresh start. We want to re-energize, we want to refocus. And sometimes when you've been feeling down for a long time, it's a little harder to get the momentum to get going in the right direction. And I think you're a perfect person to help us get that momentum. And I wanted to start the conversation with Carol, and I did this, and our good friend Jeannie, who you've also met, did this. Mm-hmm. We each picked a word to kind of be our guiding light for 2022. And I think you have as well. And let's talk about, I mean, Frankenberry hasn't done it because he's a dude and he might think it's silly, but I think words are important, don't you?
Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed with this idea. I have done it for years. In my second book, Advocate to Win, there's a whole chapter on words because words create your reality. I look at the origin of the words that I use, and I'll talk about that in a minute with respect to picking our words. But the word abracadabra, the origin of that word is I create as I speak.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So words are magic. You know, Maya Angelou believed that words had energy. And so I pick a word, but I have a whole process by which I do it. And I'm dying to know your words.
Oh, and I'm dying to know the process. Okay, Carol, you go first because you were the first one that chatted about picking your word earlier this year.
Okay. Yes. And I want to back up and share what my word was for 2021, because it's just interesting how life cycles, our energy cycles, our folk cycles and changes. So Jeannie Kelly and Jonna and I, each December or early January, we'll do this. We'll say, what's your word? Jeannie was the one that kind of started Jonna and I on it. So I was like, I'm good. Like, I don't have anything. This was 2021. I'm content. So I think my word last year was just be. I'm like, I'm good. I continue to do things, but just be. I'm good where I am right now. And here I am entering 2022, and I am breaking the rules just slightly because I have two words, but it's so clear and it's so right for me, and they are level up.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like it.
And ready for it. Like I felt so ready to just be in my zone in 2021, and this year, like, I'm ready to rock it. And it all feels great and right.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it very much. Now, Jonna, what's your word?
So my word is, I mean, if you think about why my word is my word, it's probably the same reason why Carol has chosen level up. But my word for 2022 is defiant or defy. Like, and I chose that word. I know it sounds like a negative word when you say somebody's defiant or somebody defies something, but for me, it's not feeling negative at all. It's actually feeling like I'm going to push out some negative, like get rid of some negativity and get to a place where I feel much more powerful.
I like both of your words. As you're telling me your words, I'm doing what I do, the first step that I do whenever we're talking about this. And so it's an app for the listeners that tells you the origin of any word.
Oh, now, nice.
You know, level up is a little bit harder, Carol, because it's not, you know, we have to look up level and then up. So I wasn't able to do that really quickly. But the name of the app, if the listeners want to try this themselves, is Etymology, Etymology online. And it's an app, you can put any word into it and it will tell you the origin of the word. So defy is a little bit easier, Jonna. Oh, it's awesome. I do it all day long. I'm ridiculous about it. Every word, I'm like, wait, let me look at that root. But I mean, for me, you know, my first book was The Elegant Warrior, and the root of the word elegance is to choose. And I think that that has helped me so much in the way that I think about elegance. Like, it's a choice and everyone can look at it differently. And so the word defy, it's really an interesting word for you, Jonna, because if you take it to the very, very root of the root, the root of the word is to persuade.
Oh,
and since you do that for a living, I think it's really interesting that you chose that word. Wow. I mean, and then if you continue to follow it sort of through its ways, it comes to challenge is another version of it. That's the old French. And then later it was to challenge, to fight, or dare to meet in combat. But the very origin of the word is persuade.
That is actually fascinating.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, and then level, Carol, is a little bit, you know, that's a little bit harder to play with, but I think level up, I mean, first of all, I love that song. Do you know that song?
No,
it's, I don't Ciara, think so.
Ciara, you've got to look it up. It's so good. It's like one of the songs that I listen to get like revved up. So if that's your word, you are going to love that song sort of a theme song for the year.
I'll look it up.
But I love both of your choices.
So now what's your word?
Oh my gosh. I had such drama about this. So in my private podcast, I go through my whole process that I go through for the word. And the first thing that I do is I pick a word and I look at the root, because sometimes the root of the word is nothing like what I thought it was going to be. And then I either hate the word or I love it. Like another example is my animal for the year is a dragon. And there's a lot of reasons for that, which we don't have to go into. But when I looked at the root of the word dragon, it's to see clearly. So I fell more in love with that animal once I knew the root, but it can happen the other way. So initially my word for the year was going to be faith. And that felt okay. But the more that I sort of felt it in my body, it wasn't exactly the feeling that I want to have for the year. And I'm trying to really tune into my feelings and how words make me feel. And so the word that I have come to instead is sure. I want to feel sure. And so it feels good, you know, and that's the thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. What really matters to me is how it feels in my body, you know, how that word feels in my body. And then when I look up the root of that word, it means free from care. And I like that as well. You know, carefree, untroubled is another root. But I play with words. So then what I do, and both of your words, I mean, Carol, yours, you could do it with level. I like to choose words that are like five letters or less, because then I like to choose a word for each of the letters. So for me, sure is shiny, unhurried, responsive, and enchanted. And so that is my word with a bunch of words that come off of it. And it's a great reminder, like I meditate. So when I'm meditating, those four words are often my mantra. And it's just a good reminder.
I love it.
Are you finding, and I'm going to do that with my word too, because I think so far I have been walking the walk in terms of my word. And what I'm finding, how I am defying things in this very, I mean, we're only 11 days into the, or at the time we hear this, 2 weeks into the year, but I'm saying no a lot more.
Yeah.
And it feels freaking good.
Yeah. I think that that's fabulous. I think that especially if you use your word, you know, it's not enough. It's sort of like vision boarding at the beginning of the year. If you do it and then stick it in a closet, it's not necessarily a reminder to you of the things that you're working towards or that you're working to manifest. And same thing with a word. If you forget your word or you don't use it, then it's not going to be as powerful. But if you remind yourself of it, whether it's, you know, with while you're meditating or just thinking about it in the shower, then you will be more likely to say no. And for me, the sure, you know, when I'm like, oh, should I reach out to this? You know, I just had an opportunity. I had a thought to reach out to someone who's at a startup, and I just talked to him today, and it looks like we're going to be working together. But nice. I was like, you know, be sure about it. Yes, you should reach out to this person. Indecision is one of the things that I have seen hold my clients and myself back more than anything. And so for me, being sure, even if I don't feel sure, is a great way to make sure I don't get stuck in indecision. So yes, Jonna, I have seen it at work since I've chosen it.
It's funny that you mentioned indecision, because when you say the word indecision, I feel like, to me, indecision is truly the enemy.
Yep.
In all ways, all the time, no matter what. Whether it's as something as tiny as picking something off a menu or something as large as choosing where you're going to live. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. Yes. I don't like it.
It's such a waste of time and energy, you know, and that's kind of why I'm obsessed with elegance and the word choice, like choose, you know, that quote that says, you know, you're not a tree. You can always get up and leave, you know, but if you choose something and then you move forward in that choice, you get a result. You either succeed or you fail. And if you fail, you have learned the lessons that you can choose again. But if you stay stuck in the decision, you do nothing. And so I tell myself I'm sure even when I'm not sure. And that makes me choose and then choose again and choose again.
I love
Heather,
it.
You know what I believe too about unmade decisions? And granted, when we got something major, you want to put some thought into it. But I think little things, like I'll set something at the base of the stairs and I'll walk past it a few times going up because I'm not sure where I want to put it away. But little things like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like those unmade decisions, the little ones, are mental clutter.
Yes.
And I feel like when you say, okay, you know what? And I think I talk about this in Hello Beautiful, and I call it take a little rhymes with hit day. Like all the little things that you think are not a big deal, cumulatively are a big deal. They're mental clutter. So when you are able to start with the little things, if you got little things, where to put this, should I get rid of it? Should I keep it? Start like making those decisions, and you actually create clarity in your mind. And then you're able, I think, to better make the bigger decisions.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I talk a lot in both of the books about building credibility with yourself. And the way that you do that is by doing little things like this. Like if you think you're bad at making decisions, start making little decisions. And yep. You realize a bunch of things. You realize that you're actually very good at it, that no one can do it better than you can for your life. And you also realize that they're not fatal. That if it was a bad decision, yep. You can figure a way out. You know, if you put that in the wrong place, Carol, that it didn't work for you, then you just move it. But you've made the decision. And in making right. The decision, you've gotten it off of your brain plate and out of your stairway. I think you're absolutely right that those small decisions lead you to more confidence in making the bigger ones.
Yep. You know what I'm feeling too? And maybe Heather, you might be experiencing this with your coaching clients, because, and Carol, this might be why your word last year is so far different than your word this year. I feel like we kind of were forced into a hunker down sort of mentality, and certainly in 2020 and even to a great extent in 2021. And sometimes when you're forced into that hunker down, you almost get complacent with not picking this stuff up off the stairs. Or like in my case, it's, you know, I've got so many clothes in my closet that really need to go be donated, yet I'll bitch and complain every time I can't fit another shirt on another hanger in a spot because I don't have enough room and I don't do anything. Like we got there. And now we want to emerge like the beautiful butterfly from the chrysalis. At least I do. Are you feeling that collectively in your circle?
I am. And I'm also feeling some fear and trepidation about that.
Yes.
You know, it's, I think that people really fluctuate back and forth between, I want to get it back out there. I want to live my life. And then at the same time, a little bit of fear. I mean, John, at the beginning, you said that, you know, we need some momentum. And, you know, physics, an object in motion stays in motion and an object at rest stays at rest. And we have been at rest collectively. Mm-hmm. And so to get moving is going to take a little bit of a push, an internal push. That choice, that decision to move is going to be a little bit harder than it would have been in previous years. But I think that we have to, and I love that visual, Jonna, of the butterfly, because we have to just keep thinking about what it feels like. And I think that's why I keep tuning into feelings, to be out there in the world, to be doing the things that we love. And to be really, I think we have really developed awareness over the past 2 years of what those things are.
Yes. And I think also an awareness that life is short and life can be very precarious. Like you want to wake up every morning and feel very confident. I want everybody to do that, but it can be fleeting. You know, Bob Saget died this week. Okay. Nobody expected that. Like we've had people in our lives die. People in our lives have had medical conditions that they're contending with. You never know when something's going to happen. So every moment needs to be cherished. And I'm not just saying that. I actually, truly, finally mean it.
Yeah. It's funny. I read today and I think it's so interesting. Sales of Rolls Royce and Bentleys have shot through the roof this year. And they attribute that to this you only live once idea. Like people are buying things that they otherwise maybe wouldn't have bought because they're like, you know what? I only live once and I want that Rolls Royce. And I think it's a fine line. I'm certainly not telling everyone to go into debt to go out and buy all the things that they want. But I think it is, you know, you're right. We recognize that life is short and that how do you want to spend your time? How do you want to spend your energy? How do you want to spend your love and to choose well?
So you coach people now. We're talking about starting a new year, amping up our energy, readjusting, you know, getting ourselves a focus. Do you have a process? Like, let's break it down to a practical level. Somebody's listening right now, like, yeah, this kind of sounds good to me. Where do I begin? Mm-hmm. What would you suggest for somebody? Where to start to get their head in the right place and get their focus on and come back to life again for this year?
I think the word is a good place to start because our words do create our reality. And it also gives you a process to sort of think about what's important to you in the coming year. And I think that for many of your listeners, if you're like me, and I know, you know, the two ladies that I'm speaking to, we think a lot and we act a lot. You know, it's thought action. Anybody who's a type A is thought action. And so I think that the word exercise allows you to really sit with the feeling of it. and think about, how do I want to feel this year? And this can all be around the process of the word. So you think of a word, a couple of words, and then you use that app, or you can just look online to say, well, what's the root of this word? What does it really mean? A lot of times we don't even know what words really mean. And then sit for a minute and say, how does it feel in my body? Is this how I want to feel for the year? And that practice is to get you in touch with your feelings and how you want to feel. You know, we're so unfamiliar with our feelings. I give my clients a feeling wheel because there's so many feelings that we don't describe: annoyed, frustrated, excited, elated, delighted, remorseful. I mean, these are true feelings that we don't always recognize, like the irritation I feel when my dog barks. And he might do it again. But to really feel into the word and sort of feel that, and it gets you into that feeling. And then how are you going to use your word? Not everyone meditates, but some of my clients repeat it when they work out. Some of my clients do the practice of, you know, choosing another word for every one of the letters to sort of create a mantra. Some of my clients put it on a vision board or stick it on their refrigerator or put it on their mirror. But I think it's a good way to just recognize that I'm starting the year knowing how I want to feel, because your thoughts create your feelings. I mean, you guys have so many phenomenal guests who repeat that mantra in different ways, but ultimately your thoughts create your feelings, and your feelings create your actions, and your actions create your results. So if you figure out how you want to feel, then you can start to figure out what you have to think in order to feel that way. And your word might be helpful there.
Extremely helpful. I love it. I want to just switch a little bit because I signed up for this actually today, and I had mentioned it in your intro. So you have a couple of podcasts, and you also have great guests, and then you have a private podcast, and you you're hosting a free webinar coming up in February, I think February 7th, and I was just attracted to the name, but this is something I really need help with. It's the Time Famine webinar, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think that this is an endemic. I mean, and I coach mainly women, every single woman that I coach is struggling with not enough time. I don't have enough time. There's not enough hours in the day. I'm never going to get it all done. And I struggled with that for the majority of my life. I mean, Jonna, in this way, you and I practice different kinds of law, where all I did as a lawyer, I had to bill by the 6-minute increment. Mm-hmm. So for me, truly, time was money. And my value was completely in the time that I spent. You know, I could win a case, huge result, unexpected win. And yet ultimately I was paid for my 6-minute increments. And it really got me screwy in the way that I thought about my value and the way I thought about time. And I consciously had to unlearn that over the past, I'd say, 7 years. And now I have a true feeling of time abundance. And so I work to teach people how to do that. I'll give you a couple of takeaways that are going to be in the webinar. The main thing is choice. You know, we really have to choose how we're going to spend our time. There isn't enough time to do it all. Sorry, I hate to break it to you, but there isn't enough time to do it all. And so just like when you go to a buffet, you don't say, I wish I had a bigger stomach so I could eat everything here. You don't do that. What you do is...
I say that though.
Well, the analogy is great though, because if you do try to eat everything there, you feel sick. Right. And if you try to do it all in the limited time you have, you get sick. And so instead, you've got to choose what you can savor and eat that is going to nourish you and make you feel good and help you to have the energy to do the things that you want to do. And that's what you have to do with your time as well. And when you start to think of it that way, it really is. It sounds at first a little bit like, well, that's a bummer. I can't do it all. But once you recognize that that's truly the case, then all of a sudden you have to decide how to choose what you're going to do with your time. And then that's when it becomes fun. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to make those choices. We're going to talk a lot about procrastination. And we're going to also talk about the word busy, because you're never going to believe the root of that word.
Oh, tell us.
The root of the word busy is anxious.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yes.
So I would encourage you to never use that word again.
And
it's
I use it really hard.
Daily.
That's so funny. Because I use it it's a good thing.
Yep, of course you do. Podcast, I have a lot of authors on, and I had Dori Clark on, who wrote a book called The Long Game.
I love her. She's been on our show.
Yeah, I would imagine she had. She's fabulous. And she said something like, when you tell people, I'm paraphrasing now, but she said, when you tell people you're busy, you're telling them that you're not in charge of your calendar.
That's
and Johnny,
true.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't. I don't like that at all.
Right.
Heather, let me ask you something. It seems to me, and the busy or not enough time, we all have the same amount of time in a day. And it, to me, it boils down, correct me if I'm wrong, or you have a different perspective. Of course, that's why you're here. It's a matter of two things. It's a matter of priority, knowing what matters most to you, and boundaries, being able to say no.
That's absolutely right.
Eliminating what matters less so you have time for what matters most.
That's right.
You know, generalizing. Yeah, you know, we all have responsibilities, things we have to do.
That's right. And it's the choosing, right? It's that whole thing about decision, indecision. If you're wasting an hour trying to figure out, well, should I go or should I stay? Should I say no to that thing that I should be setting a boundary on? Oh, goodness. Sorry, guys.
No, usually that's Carol's dog. It's quite all right.
It's usually my time.
My dog walker's here, so he'll be quiet in just a minute. You're right.
It's all good.
It's a matter of choosing what to do with your time, choosing what is going to be the priority. Another great book, it was actually my book pick for the year, is 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. And in that book, 4,000 Weeks, this is kind of depressing. 4,000 weeks is our life expectancy if we live to 80.
Mm-hmm.
4,000 weeks. That's nothing.
Nothing. And I bought that book. I listened to one of your other podcasts when you had him on, and I bought that book.
Oh, did we just lose Jana?
Yeah. Something about buying a book and then she dropped off the planet. See what happens when you read? Exact opposite of what everybody tells you since you were a kid. Reading is bad for you. It just made Jana disappear.
It's so funny.
Oh, and I know her right now. I can't hear her. I know she's cursing up a storm. Oh, I don't know if she can hear us or not. Maybe it's a good thing we can't hear her. All right, we'll give her a sec to come back.
I'm sorry, but Heather, was it Carol? Were you in the middle of a question, or Heather, were you continuing?
Well, I have to go shortly anyway. I just got an email from someone that I'm supposed to meet that I totally forgot.
All right, so let me wrap up the interview. Yeah. And here comes Jana. All right, okay. Jana, she's got to go. Can you wrap?
Yes, she's got to go. I just want to. Can you tell our listeners how they can join your webinar, Time Famine, on before February 7th?
Okay, so I've given you guys a link. You can also find the link to register on my Instagram. So if you go to my Instagram, which is at I'm Heather Hansen, the link in the bio, the top link is going to be to sign up for the webinar. It's February 7th, 3 p.m. I'll be there live. I'll be answering your questions. I'll be sharing a lot of the tools that have really allowed me to switch from time famine to time abundance.
It's great. And then we'll promote it too on social. And I've already signed up because it's going to be fascinating. Heather, thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry we kept you a little bit over.
Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever. I love it.
Well, and we could too. And we're going to catch up in real life very, very soon. Thank you again, Heather Hansen. She's a coach. She's an author. She's a fabulous person. And thanks for your time. We'll talk to you soon, Heather.
Talk soon, guys. Bye.
All right. Thank you much there, Heather. I appreciate it. All right, you're listening to Happy Hour here, and we will be right back with segment number 3 with Jana Spilgore and Carol Pesci. So please don't go anywhere. Stick around.
Jana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jana and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here to Happy Hour this morning with Jana Spilgore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Frankenberry. Boom. That's a little boom.
Yeah, that's a little boom. I can't.
Not a big boom.
No, I didn't even hear the mic hit the floor.
Nope.
No.
You know what it is? Oh, we have a little bit of a delay going on. It must be the Wi-Fi or something.
Yeah.
It certainly could be. Certainly could be. And by the way, I think I know what my word might be for 2022.
That's what I was going to ask you. What's your word?
I think my word is going to be reincarnation. I just need to figure out what famous person I was in a past life that I'm going to pretend to be for the next year.
I don't think I think you're missing the point.
You think so? All right. Then my word for 2022 is dude.
Which means I don't need a word.
Never mind.
That's funny. Now, I'm on my phone, so I can't. I want to look up the root word of dude. That would be funny. No, she is. She's just a really. There's so many things I admire about Heather, not the least of which is she's done what I've been, you know, talking about doing forever. And that's she really took a leap from practicing law to practicing what she her calling is to help people. I mean, that's what lawyers do, too. But now she's doing it in a whole different way and in a fun way. It's like, you know, she's fantastic. And if you haven't signed up or listened to her podcast, she has a lot of great guests. Like we have a lot of great guests. So it's not, if you love us, you'll like, it's like, you know, when you go on Amazon and you buy a book and it says, oh, if you like that, you might also like this. That's kind of our relationship.
There you go. She's an also recommend.
Yes. Yes. She absolutely is.
So, all right. I have a question.
Yes.
I just consumed an entire chip crunching loudly in the microphone. Could neither one of you hear me?
No, I did not hear you eating any chip because that is the way chips are supposed to be consumed. No one should know you're eating them except you.
But I wanted you to know in this situation, but my experiment failed and now I have a carbohydrate in my stomach.
Yes, you can afford it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're okay on that there, Carol. You know, both of you and this aversion to carbohydrates, I think you're both fine.
Oh, I don't have an aversion. I don't have an aversion. I had a very, very close relationship the last 2 months of 2021 with carbohydrate. But we've broken up for this month.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you why you sounded so sad.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all right. You can afford. And just remember, wine also has carbs. So don't completely deprive yourself.
Exactly.
I have of that too. How crazy is this year so far?
Oh,
I know,
brother. All right. Well, listen.
I know.
Yes.
Everybody needs to find their word.
on that sad note.
Yeah. Want, want. All right. So I guess we'll thank Heather Hansen once again. I'm going to put the link for her upcoming webinar called Time Famine, which is really going to teach us how to better utilize the time that we have so we don't feel like we're time starved. I'm going to put that when we post on our social media for the show. So you can go if whenever you listen to this show, you can go on my social media and find that link. You can also find her on Instagram at I'm Heather Hansen. And Frankie Berry, you got to pick a real word before next week.
Ho, ho, ho. Wait, you're giving me homework, lady?
Yeah, homework.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right. Well, for the moment, I'm sticking with dude or I'm sticking with reincarnation, but I'll try to think of something else.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, for Jonas Spillboard, for Carol Pesci, I want you all
yes.
Have a great week.
You.
And, we'll be back. Yes. We'll be back again. Okay.
That's awesome. Yes, what, Frank and Barry.
Right here with more happy hour.
Oh.
Yes,
I hope you don't choke.
Have a good week.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.